I woke up at 4:44. I looked on my phone. I turned over. It was 4:44, and four is the number of the Earth: north, south, east, west. Four, the four winds. Four, Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth. Four. It's just four. And God spoke to my heart, and He says, "I'm about to move across the face of the Earth." And so I was looking on my phone. It's got a little eagle under the time. And I felt like the Lord say that he's revealing it to the prophets, he's revealing it to the church, he's revealing it to us, but he is about to move. We're going to step into this significant season of a wave of the move of God. And it's going to come from where we are here, from the international dateline, across into Jerusalem. Well, I was at the New Zealand Intercessors Conference last week, and it was an amazing conference. We just heard about what God's doing across the earth. But I'm just excited about what God is doing and what He's moving us into. In the worship time, I saw all of us in a boat, in a waka together. And it's the church here, and each one of us had a paddle. And it was our own individual, unique paddle. It was all designed and painted and kind of represented our life journey. And yes, sir, who you prayed in our prayer meeting just this morning, I saw you holding a staff, and it was decorated with all the history of you and God together. And then I just saw you with the anointing that you carry, with the deep well that you've had, and just holding that staff of authority, and then allowing the Holy Spirit just to move through your words, change lives here and there and there and there. And you're just having this staff that represents your history. It's just a beautiful history, something that God cannot, Satan cannot take away, but God will use, and even more powerfully in days to come. But I saw each of us, and we had this paddle, and we're all just putting in our own work. We're just paddling the boat. And I felt the Lord say that, man, it's awesome when you can use your own gifts and talents in a house like this, in the church, and you're going somewhere. But what is really amazing is when you're with a gathering of people, you just go places you simply could not go on your own. Like there's this kind of synergy, there's this working together. It's like a band when they come together, and then you get into this kind of this sweet spot, and you're kind of playing off each other. And I just saw the church moving forward like that. And the premises that you're about to step into, you know, is a significant milestone in this community and in the journey of the church. And right now, God is really rearranging and organizing the pieces. He's pulling a few things apart to rebuild them again. And so some of you can't really see too much what perhaps next year is going to look like, or maybe in a month's time you can't see it. But that's because God is rearranging things, and He's intentionally keeping a few things from us. But He's just saying, be flexible, be ready to step into what I'm about to do. And this new building is going to be a part of that. And in Jesus' name, we're praying that that would happen this year. In Jesus' name, we're praying, Lord God, that You would speed up all the architectural things, all the building things. In Jesus' name, we pray that You would fill it, Lord. We pray that You would resource it, and that it would be significant, Lord, as a milestone moment, as a flag in the community. In Jesus' name, and so we claim it in Jesus' name. You led the worship, Pink, here, in the worship. I just saw you, I saw you walking up to people, and you're having a look at their ID cards, and you're like, that's a fake ID. It's like, get rid of that. That's not what Jesus says about, that's what Satan says about you. And you're looking at all these fake IDs that people are carrying, and I see you grabbing them, saying, that's not you. And then, like, here is your ID, and I just see you encouraging people in who they are in Christ. Like, they're royalty, they have favor with the Lord, they are saved, delivered, set free, restored, redeemed, and I just see you raising people up. I see people are coming into the house because in this house, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to come, and they're going to come with all sorts of things that they're carrying, and so there's a bit of a role for us to be able to help, encourage, direct, speak truth, speak life, and I just see you doing that, and getting people to see things that they've never seen in themselves before. And so people are just going to come. They're just going to come. Thank you, Jesus. And then your lady with the blue and black stripe yeah, just with the white on the top. I see highly valued. I feel like the Lord, for a start, saying that you're one that is highly valued in His sight, that you have favor with the Lord. And I see that He's just gonna multiply you. I feel like there's gonna be like new things around you, like kids that you're gonna be able to minister to, and just people coming to you, kind of, yeah, even kids coming to you, and then you'll be able to minister to them, speak into them, and help lead them and guide them. I feel like He's gonna use your wisdom to be able to do that. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you realized today, but today is the day of Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday, which is like 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave, 10 days after He ascended into heaven, and then on that day, like today, however many years ago, God poured out the Holy Spirit as fire on the earth. And so here we are in this day of Pentecost. So I'm just feeling very privileged to be here this morning, to be able to represent Him and to be able to deliver a message. Really, this morning is like a Pentecost message this morning. But what I thought I'd do first, I just wanted to show a quick clip. And what it does is it contains a sentiment that I'd like to just express this morning. So have a quick look at this this clip here. So that was my little introduction video this morning to say this: you have powers. Each one of us actually has supernatural gifts, abilities, and talents directly from the Holy Spirit, that each one of us has powers. I don't know if when you were a kid you used to kind of say to each other, oh, you know, what superpower would you like to have? And I'll be like, oh, I just want to be able to fly. You know, I love to be able to fly. I mean, you know how dangerous that is? I mean, kids are still going to be looking at their cell phones while they're flying 10,000 feet, crash into someone. I mean, it's dangerous. So, I mean, I don't know if flying is actually a great superpower to have. It's like, I want laser eyes. I mean, what are you going to do with laser eyes? I want to be invisible. But, I mean, if no one can see, you're going to be hit by a truck. So, I mean, these are superpowers that are kind of out there, but what about these superpowers? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, freely you have been given, freely give. These are the superpowers that the Holy Spirit has invested into us. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross, because He rose from the grave, because of our proximity to Jesus, because of our relationship with Jesus, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have the ability to walk in the supernatural in Jesus Christ. I mean, how about these verses? Romans 8:11 says this: the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Matthew 17:20, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Mark 16:18, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them at all. Ephesians 3:1, you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:17, you have been thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the challenge for us is to learn to operate in these gifts, to actually realize for a start that these things, that we step into these things, that they are available to us, and especially on a day like today, the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon each person in that room. And one of the things about that room is that no one missed out. It says flames of fire came and rested on each one of them. And as a result, the church was added to their number because the disciples went out carrying the power of the Holy Spirit and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And so I wanted to focus particularly on one superpower this morning that each one of us have, that each one of us have ability to walk in, have access to, and it's a superpower of prophecy. So I'm talking about a direct communication between us and God, being able to share the very words that God is saying in the moment. And so my theme scripture for us this morning is 1 Corinthians 14, and it's verses 1 to 5. So, like I said, it's just a privilege to be here on Pentecost Sunday, being able to represent what the Holy Spirit has done in us and through us. So, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 5 says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Just praying in tongues. No one understands what I'm saying, but just praying in tongues. And I'll give people an opportunity if you would like to. It's like, why would I ever want to pray in tongues? Well, I can tell you why it's a good idea, but there'll be an opportunity for that at the end as well. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That's our framework. I'll come back to that. Everyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So I want to have a look at this portion of scripture here. So I'll just back this up for us for a moment. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, when we come to him and repent of our sins and acknowledge ourselves as sinners and say, Jesus, I need you to forgive my sins and wash me clean. Once that takes place and we say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Well, then he comes and dwells within us as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in to our hearts. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, and he breathed on them, remember, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit. But then after that, he said to them, well, I need you to wait right here because the gift my Father has promised is coming. It's the empowering, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they had received the Holy Spirit, but God's saying that there was another moment for them to step into to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that happened on the day of Pentecost, which is today. And so from that moment, we get to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so let's have a look at this portion of scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14. It begins by saying this: follow the way of love. That's how it begins. Follow the way of love. And it's such a great place to begin from, because if you love, it will revolutionize the way that you minister, or revolutionize the way that you live. In fact, it will give you greater confidence. Like I think of the example of like standing up and speaking in front of people. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get especially years ago, just get super nervous, super afraid about coming up and just speaking. But the thing is, what I realize is that if you love, then you kind of take yourself out of the equation. You stop thinking about yourself so much. It's like, if I love, I'm thinking about the people that I'm ministering to. I'm thinking about the world around me. I'm taking my eyes off myself, and I'm actually getting over my insecurities, my failures. And in fact, if we call ourselves, or call this love out of ourselves, we'll actually live at a higher level. We live at this level, we leave these other things behind us, and so I'm living in this place of love. And as I do that, well, then I find that the gifts of the Spirit just flow more freely and more completely. And so the heart of prophecy should always come out of a spirit of love. We're looking for the very best for the people in front of us, and not thinking about how if we're looking good or anything like that. We're just saying, God, how can I minister to these people today, to this person I'm about to speak to, this person I'm going to have a coffee with, you know, whoever it might be, and we step out of ourselves. So follow the way of love. Just a great place to start. In fact, in this moment here, why don't we think about someone, just have a friend, a family member, someone come to mind right now, and just think, what can I do this week to show love to that person? What is one thing that I can do to love on them? Perhaps even after this service this morning, you might think, well, I've got a prophetic word I can share with that person. I'm going to teach you how to prophesy. And see, that's following the way of love. It's just looking for a way, and that's how you change the world, by ministering, serving, loving on people. So follow the way of love. And then it goes on to say, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so the Bible tells us to eagerly desire these gifts. Now, God wouldn't say to us to eagerly desire something that we couldn't attain. He doesn't say to us to pursue something and then just keep it out of reach so we can never get it. And so the gifts that he's talking about are things that all of us can get hold of. We can all attain them. God is not going to keep these out of reach from us. And so these gifts that he's talking about, back two chapters back, 1 Corinthians 12, it gives us a list of these nine gifts of the Spirit. And so you've got the word of wisdom to start off with, word of knowledge. Then there's gift of faith, gift of healing, that's four. Miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So we've got these nine gifts of the Spirit. And you know what? Each of these gifts is actually not for us. They're for the world around us. They're for people around us. Well, one gift, speaking in tongues, your prayer language, that will build you up. But these gifts of the Spirit also include interpretation. So if you give a public message of tongues and then that's interpreted, that helps to build up the church. And so it's for others. These gifts of the Spirit are for others. And so these gifts are designed to benefit others. And so therefore, the best place to start is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Then it says, especially prophecy. So why especially prophecy? I mean, what's wrong with all the other gifts? I mean, there's nothing wrong with all the other gifts, but it singles out prophecy. And why is that? Well, continue to read. For everyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. And so why prophecy in particular? Because it builds up the church. Because it continues. We just all need encouragement. I mean, if you ask me, there's not enough prophecy. There's not enough words of encouragement. And I feel like God is saying to us that he's raising up, he's stirring up the Spirit, that we might just operate in hearing from God for other people and just walking in the Spirit. And so, and then it says, and all the more, seeing as we see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25. So praying in tongues, that will build me up, but as I prophesy, that will build the church up. And so, just girl second row, holding the card. I just feel like the Lord's saying that he's going to raise you up to lead. He's going to raise you up as someone who is confident in what God can do through you. And I feel like he's going to set you up in this place where you're going to be able to help navigate and direct people. And then next to you, so in the white, you. I just feel like God's saying that he's got a special call for you. and that it's quite unique. And so you might find yourselves doing things that are a bit different to other people, but I feel like God's saying that you've got some amazing gifts, talents, and abilities that he's invested into you, even things that you aren't even aware of yet, but God is going to use you powerfully. And they're next to you in the New York thing. And so I feel like God is going to add people to you. I feel like you're just going to do well in what it is that you put your hands to. And in fact, I see you like holding those loaves of bread, and they get multiplied, and then they just have this big impact. And I just see people just coming around you, and they're going to learn just from your life and the way you do things. And it's kind of like, it's just what Jesus did. You know, he kind of went about and healed people and went about, and the disciples were just learning as they went. But I see that, people will be added to you. So just have your heart directed on the Lord and just continue to follow him, and he'll lead you, he'll guide you. So I want to say this about prophecy, that you can prophesy. Sometimes I think that we just need permission to be able to do it. It's not one of these things that is out there that only some people can do. It's only for prophets, you know, that kind of thing. But no, you can prophesy. You might say, well, I thought that some people get some gifts and then some people get other gifts. You know, what about that? Bible says, well, some get this and some get that, and kind of distributes them out. Well, that's true that, you know, not one person can do the whole thing. We're designed to be a unit, a family, coming together using all our various gifts. But this is how it works. It's like you have people who are particularly gifted in sports, maybe swimming, running, basketball, whatever it might be. You have artists, you have musicians, you have people who are good at teaching, and you have researchers, all these different kind of particular gifts that people have. But actually, all of us can do all those things. Like, actually, we can do them all. I mean, you might say, I can't paint, but I mean, I've seen people chuck stuff at a canvas and then, you know, sell it for like thousands of dollars, you know. So, I mean, we can do that. We can, and it's just there. And so, see, some people are particularly gifted in these things, but we can all do them. And so just because you're not prophesying every day to every person that you meet, And I believe actually that each one of us, and I can have a prophetic word for every person I meet, because the Bible says, well, just prophesy in proportion to your faith. So if you believe it, well, then you can step out into it and do it. So you may not think that yourself, but at least you know that you can hear from God for someone else and share a prophetic word with somebody. We can all prophesy. And I feel like the Lord is encouraging us to do that, because we need to eagerly desire this, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so, in fact, all the gifts are available to all of us. I mean, one of these gifts is a gift of healing. Now, I know that various people might walk around evangelists, and they've got they have healings that happen a lot in their ministry. They've seen hundreds of people healed. So, yeah, sure, they've got a particular gift of healing. But that's not going to stop me from praying for my kids for healing. I'm not going to wait for someone across the other side of town to come over and you know, I'm going to pray myself. And I've seen my kids get healed of things. I've seen their teeth straighten out when I didn't want to pay a dentist bill. And over the course of a year, I just pray every day, and then they have the x-ray and their teeth are all straight. Well, that saved me a lot of money. But, you know, so they're just stepping in the gifts of the Spirit. All of us should be able to see a situation, pray for healing, and just see people raised up. So these are the things that we desire, we attain for, we try, we reach out in faith. We might fail, but get up again, try again, and continue to reach out and push forward in faith. So prophecy, I would call prophecy simply hearing from God for someone else and then sharing it with that person. Now, I've talked to some prophets, and I've said, well, look, this is my definition. And they're like, yeah, well, that's actually a good definition. Some might say it's foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling future events, forthtelling what God is saying in the moment. Sure, but it really is simply hearing from God for someone else and then sharing that word. Now, you might say, well, I struggle to hear the voice of God. You might say, it's actually quite hard to hear God speaking to me. I don't think I can hear his voice. So that's quite a common thing to say. But I want to reframe that. And I want to say this. It's not that you can't hear his voice. Actually, it's out of everything you do hear over the course of a day, it's discerning what is God and what isn't God. And so because our thoughts only come from three sources, they only come from the devil, from yourself, or from God. Those are the three sources. And so, you know, you've got one in three chance, right? But then the devil, he's easy to discern, because if it's condemning thoughts, if the thoughts are making you feel bad, you know, if the thoughts were selfish thoughts or angry thoughts, you know, all these kind of thoughts, well, that's the devil's thoughts. And so you can discard those thoughts. And then you're only left with two, your thoughts and God's thoughts. So you're only just kind of doing a 50-50. So it actually becomes a lot easier to hear God's voice if you think of it in those terms. You know, it's easier to discern than to pray for someone who's deaf to be hearing again. So we're just simply discerning. We're simply choosing. Discerning is like choosing. I've got four voices. I've got God, the devil, myself, and my wife, which, I mean, she sounds like God. It's like, it's still washing in the washing machine. It's like, get behind me. No, I won't say that. Now, her voice sounds very much like God. I have to discern such a sweet-sounding voice. And so, you know, we've got these voices that speak to us, and sometimes it's a matter of, like, unplugging, a matter of being still. A matter of, I mean, being like this in our worship time and just being here in the Lord's presence and just hear it, just calming ourselves to discern what is the voice of the Lord. So what about prophesying then? So you can hear the voice of the Lord, you catch that thing, word, picture, or thought. What about actually prophesying to someone? Well, for a start, there's this framework, and we've already read it. 1 Corinthians 14 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So a prophetic word, well, what it does is it puts a good framework around it, and it needs to sound like that. It needs to sound strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And also, it should come with the peace of the Spirit as well. And actually, I just shared a prophetic word before. But what we're doing is we're actually looking for the peace. And this actually covers all of life. If you have got a series of decisions in front of you, five decisions to make, and it's like, God, which decision is the right decision? I mean, that's pretty hard to guess. You only got 20% chance if you got like five decisions. Lord, do I do this? Which is it? Well, in terms of decision making for all of life, just follow the peace of the Spirit. Be led by the peace of the Spirit. We've all got this internal peace barometer within us. And so it's like that decision. Yeah, I don't feel the peace there. Not so much there. Oh, yeah, there's a bit of peace there. So back. And so you follow the path of the most peace. That's just how the Holy Spirit operates. And so you start walking there until you don't feel the peace anymore. There's time to change, shift, change. But in terms of navigating life, follow the peace of the Spirit. And then I just like to make things simple. I don't like things complex. If we could just keep it simple, well, then I think that we can get somewhere. And so follow the peace of the Spirit, your internal barometer. So if someone prophesies to you a word and you're feeling the peace, you feel quite peaceful about that, you can receive the word. But if you're not feeling the peace of the Spirit as someone shares a word with you, well, then you're quite welcome just to put it on the side, because the Bible says you've got to test the spirits. You know, you've got to honor the prophet, honor the word that's coming, but then there's always this tension in the word of God. And so you honor the word, but then it's up to you whether you receive it or not. You know, it's your choice. You can't have someone prophesy to you and say, you need to invest money into this business, and you go ahead and do it, and then it crashes, and you say, well, it's his fault because he prophesied to me. It's not, no, we make the choice ourselves based off the prophetic word, but we can choose whether we're going to do that or not. And quite often it's a timing thing as well, so the next week it rises again. It's like, oh, I should have done it then. But no, the decision-making actually comes on ourselves. So What I do is I catch the first word, picture, or thought that comes to mind. I'm looking for something that stands out as I'm looking at someone, as I'm thinking about someone. And it's just that first word, picture, or thought before I overthink it. This is how it works with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like an intuition thing. I mean, you may have prophesied or been walking in the Spirit even without realizing it, calling it coincidence, calling it just following a hunch, intuition, that kind of thing. But the Holy Spirit is so in us that it is actually very normal and every day to hear the voice of God and to be led by Him, especially if we're born again, Spirit-filled believers, because the Holy Spirit is within us. And so it's just navigating with the Holy Spirit. So I'm looking for a starting point as I prophesy. First word, picture, or thought, and then I prophesy off the back of that. So, question is, do you have to be 100% confident that you have a prophetic word for someone when you're going to share it? Because I'd love it if each one of us this week looked for somebody to share a prophetic word with, because, you know, a prophetic word does not just strengthen, encourage, and comfort, but it can also unlock. It can also reveal what someone else can't see about themselves. I mean, Samuel prophesied to Saul and said, "You are a king," which he could not see, but then he becomes a king of Israel off a prophetic word that was spoken to him. And so a prophetic word can commission, it can actually activate a new season in someone's life. Like, it's powerful. It is a superpower that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And so, do I have to be 100% confident? Well, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so there's always a faith element. So can we ever be 100% sure? Well, you've got to leave some room for faith. You've just got to be able to step out in faith. And the Bible also says that we know in part, this is 1 Corinthians 13, and we also prophesy in part. And so there's always this faith element. So when I think of in part, what I'm thinking of is this, that for a start, we only have a partial revelation for a start. So the first thing is that while we're on earth, we only see not clearly. So it's always a partial revelation. So when we share, when we prophesy, when we give a word from the Lord, it's always going to be partial in its delivery. Secondly, we know in part, we see in part. I like to think of it as, because this is what I've done in class settings, you have a few people in the middle of a circle and everyone's standing around the outside, we're prophesying to those people. And everyone is standing in a different position around the circle. And so someone is seeing a person front on, someone's seeing them side on, someone from the back. And so you're seeing the people you're sharing a word with from a different perspective, a different angle. And so when you get prophetic words from a lot of people, well, then you start to build up a fuller picture. You might be sharing a word that's about their season now or about their future season. You might be talking to them about gifts and talents that are in their life at the moment or are going to come out soon. And so as we share in these prophetic words, they are in part. And so as we collectively together just share what the Lord is saying, well, then you can start to build up this picture. And so really, those are the things I wanted to share about this morning when it comes to prophecy. And what I want to do, I mean, it is Pentecost Sunday after all. I do want us to have a time where we come and get freshly filled again. But I also want us to at least all of us to go home with a prophetic word in our heart. And so this is a God idea that he shared with me a few weeks ago, I think. And so I'm going to just do this here. I'm going to lead us into hearing from the Lord for ourselves. So why don't we stand up and we'll get the team to come back. And I'm going to pray. I want us to get ready to receive. As Pastor Jordan says, man, let's... This morning is a special morning. This is an opportunity for us to receive. I sense the presence of the Lord here right now. We've had some of the Word. The Word of God is living and active. We've had our spirit and our heart, our mind fed with the Word of God. And now is a chance for us to step in, a chance to step in to hear what God's saying. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for bringing us here into this room. And Lord, we're praying for a fresh encounter with you right now. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, for your anointing. We thank you for your presence here with us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would breathe right now in Jesus' name and blow through this room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit and for your anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so while we're here in his presence, I just want you to engage. I want you to lean in, to step in, and picture yourself standing in a day, right? So it's a day. Now, you might be standing there, and it might be the morning, dawn. It's the morning. Are you standing there, and it feels like midday? Is it the afternoon? Evening or nighttime? So we've got five. So I just want you to stand there and just think, okay, so where am I standing right now? Is it the dawn? Is it the morning? Is it midday, afternoon, evening, or night? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So what I'm going to do now, like I said, what I do when I prophesy, I'm looking for a starting point. And this is us in partnership right now. You with the Holy Spirit. We're here in his presence. He's talking, he's speaking, he's sharing, and here we are. And so, just at the front here, what part of the day for you? Night? Yeah, night. Awesome. So this word is for everyone. So if you saw night, right, this is a prophetic word that I want you to receive in your heart as well. So nighttime. So nighttime is actually a beautiful time. And I just see the lights out. And I see the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the night, in the dark places. It's kind of like Samuel when he was on his bed and God called his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he got up and ran to Eli and it was like, no, it's not me, it's not me. And then, but he heard God. And I feel like the night happens and it's calm and it's peaceful. And I feel like the Lord's saying just to be in his silence and his peace, because he is speaking to you at the moment. And he is actually, there's a fresh commissioning for the next day that's coming. And so at nighttime, the stars are out, the lights are out, and it's a beautiful time to hear the Lord's presence and the quietness and the stillness and in the peace. Yeah, so that's, who had morning? Yeah, morning. So in the morning, I feel like things are about to take a new step, a new turn. It's a dawn. There's a fresh breeze. There's a fresh breeze blowing, and it's new things that are on the winds, and it's refreshing. And I feel like you're about to step into this new day where I feel like the Lord is gonna use you in ways that are a bit unexpected. And so it's because it's new, it's newness. And that's actually the season that we're in as a globe, the season we're in as New Zealand, as a church. We're stepping into something fresh, something new. And so I see you stepping into that. Yeah, who had midday? Anyone have midday? Thank you, Jesus. So midday, I feel like things are happening. Things are happening around you, and it's busy. It's a busy time. There's lots going on, but in midday, that's where the sun is the brightest. And I see you being filled with the glory of the Lord. I see you standing under the sun of the Spirit, and actually bringing the glory into the situations that you face. So it is a busy time, but the glory of God is in it. I feel like the Lord's saying that there is treasure in the day. There's treasure in the busyness. There's treasure in the time. And so embrace everything that's going on, because there is treasure in each day. There's harvest in each day. In fact, I see you in a golden harvest field gathering a harvest every day, because the Lord is in each day. Afternoon. Someone have afternoon? Afternoon is a time of reflecting, reflecting back on the day, just leaning into God and asking Him to reveal to you. I just feel like there's fresh revelation that's coming as you reflect, as you go back and look back over what it is that the Lord has been doing, because there's testimonies as you look back. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be a gatherer of testimonies as you look back. So many, because the testimonies replicate, they multiply. The things that He has done, He's going to do again and even greater. And so hold on to those things. Hold on to the prophetic words. Hold on to the answers to prayer, because it's going to multiply. It's going to happen again and again, manyfold. Who had evening? Evening. Thank you, Jesus. Evening. Evening is a time of refreshing. It's dinner time. It's a time to fellowship as well. It's a time where people gather together. Their families are together, and it's a time of feasting and joy. I feel like it's a season of joy, and I feel like people are going to come around, and it's a time of fellowship, sharing with one another, strengthening, encouraging each other, sharing those prophetic words. I feel like He's going to give you, like you're going to be able to feed many, because you've got these prophetic words within your heart, within your spirit to overflow and to share and to pour out. So there's developing this sense of community in and around kind of church, and being able to hold other people's hands, to strengthen them, to carry them through, to carry them beyond. So we just looked at the day. We just looked at the day and was catching that first thing. And so I'm looking for that first thing. You might say, well, yeah, but what if I just chose that part of the day myself? What if God didn't say that to me? What if that was just me? Well, the thing is, if you always take God out of the equation, how are you ever going to hear God speak to you in the first place? You've got to put God in the equation. You've got to say, that could have been coincidence, but hold on. Maybe that was God. You know, I've been looking at the time. Like I said, I woke up this morning, 4:44, and God spoke to me about He's going to move. I was coming back from a weekend of ministry, and I passed this. I had a look at my phone arrival time. It was 3:33 arrival time. I was like, oh, God's speaking to me. I looked up. As I looked up, I was passing this road sign, and it was a digital one. And if you go the right speed, it says thank you on it. Going 50K, thank you, flashes up. As I was going past, it was like, thank you. And the Holy Spirit said to me, thank you for the ministry that you did over the weekend. I'm like, oh, that's nice. You didn't have to thank me, God. Like, no, but I'm like, oh, you never thanked me before. He's like, well, yes, I have. You just haven't paid attention. Paying attention is one of the biggest things. Paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray. And then I love to pray for you. I love to minister. I love to release. You know, this is the day of Pentecost. Of any day, let's come to receive something from the Holy Spirit. Let's open ourselves up to come to be filled again. Man, it's so much better if you're filled with the Spirit of God. It's so much better if you're filled to overflowing. That is how we actually should live, filled to overflowing. If you are feeling like you're in a dry season at the moment, we're going to declare that drought breaks today in Jesus' name. At the Prayer Intercessors Conference, we're hearing about Kenya. The new leader who was elected in last year is a Christian. He called the country to a day of prayer and fasting after 5 years of drought. 21 days after that day, the heavens broke open and it rained and the drought was broken, right? After five, coming on 6 years, this guy, the president of Kenya. And so let's declare that the drought breaks today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So why don't you come as I pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would come now by Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You're here. I thank You that You're breathing, that You're moving. And I pray, Lord, that You would fill each person in this room. Like on the day of Pentecost, you said that the tongues of fire came down and rested on each one of them. And so, Lord, I pray that You would come and that You would rest on each person right now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank You for Your infilling. Thank You for Your presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing? And then I'll just be here up the front. If you want to come and receive some prayer, we can pray together, hear from God together. Thank you, Jesus. It's like your lounge this morning. Just come and